bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. We are April the 23rd, 2026. And this audio recording come from a one-on-one this morning with Rebecca Jancy, as she wanted to learn about imagination, visualization, confessions again. And so I was inspired to, first of all, read from The Bible Tells Me So. And then afterwards, I carried on sharing as God inspired my heart to speak. And so this is part of our one-on-one that we had. And I said to Becky, well, I've recorded this. And so she was quite happy for me to share it with you guys. I think you'll get very blessed from it. God is always at work. And there was a lot of great things we learned from reading that, as well as what God inspired me to say after that. And so this sharing is called Release From Your Prisons. So God bless you. And I hope you have a wonderful day, and looking forward to seeing you on the Zoom Fellowship tonight. God bless you. It's what I'm going to read. So it's part one, Freedom from Bondage, from The Bible Tells Me So. So in order to live an abundant life, a person must first be free from mental bondage. The chains which bind one's mind are more painful and defeating than any other. As Christians, however, we have a personal liberator. Christ has delivered us. We must simply accept the freedom. Once we know what he has done for us and how we are going to go about receiving it. This is chapter one, and it's absolutely a wonderful book. I can remember when I was just taking the power for abundant living, and going back then, even though I got eliminated a lot of fear in my life, there were still paradigms and programmings and limited beliefs that held me back. But this book and this chapter here that I'm going to read you really helped me a lot to focus and to get moving with God and to get rid of fear out of my life. So Release From Your Prisons, Dr. Well starts off like this. It is the absolute will of God for every person to be released from every prison or fetter which encases and binds. John chapter 8 pointedly states God's will. John chapter 8 verses 31, 32 and 36 says this. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. These three short verses contain the key to release. We must believe the word of God, which is truth. And then we must know the Son, who is the way, the truth, and the life. In following God's word and in knowing his Son, we not only will we be free, but we shall be free indeed. God's will is for every one of us to be released today from whatever prison is holding us. Prisons are not only made of bars of steel. The prisons of our secret sin, things in our life which we don't want to share with any other person in the world, the most frustrating and defeating. The thoughts of self-condemnation that have been gnawing in the back of one's conscience and subconscious mind for years and years. Thoughts of sickness and disease, fears, worries, anxiety, suicide, death, are the most tormenting and wretched kind of prisons. It is not God's will for us to be so mentally bound. God's will is just the opposite, as he has given us total release from all negatives. Psalms 103 verses 11-12 says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him or respect him. As far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us. It is the will of God that all self-condemnation be gone, because he wants to make us free indeed. Not just half free, but wholly free persons. Not only does God want us free of all secret condemnation, but he wants us to be free from all the powers of darkness in this world. He desires that we be free from resentment, from pride, from envyings, from jealousies, from obsessions and oppressions which have been eaten away at us. He wants us to be released from these prisons too. Mankind has lived in the midst of evil ever since the devil received power of this world. Man has brought upon himself the evil which he is surrounded. But God so lovingly provided a way by which man might recognize and receive a greater and more wonderful power than they have ever known, that those who will to believe might be released from every prison enslaving their life. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Every influence which is not based upon the word of God shall come to naught. Such influences lead only to imprisonment." Hebrews 4:12, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith, believing in them that heard it." We must not only hear that Christ set us free, we must believe and live accordingly. A camera offers an appropriate analogy of the means by which you can get results in prayer and find release from your prisons. If you want an answer to prayer, first get your object in mind. You select what you want in your picture. This is step one. You're clear on what you want. Secondly, you use the rangefinder and focus the subject properly. Then consider the length of exposure of the picture so that all factors may work together for a perfect picture. After all of this, shoot the picture. When you are focused on the picture of what you want, keep your mind stayed on it. If you allow something to come in and take precedence over that picture, you will get a blurred answer to prayer. You will not get the results you desire. You will not get the release from your prison, which is encasing you. James 1, 6 and 7 says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." If you want to get rid of something today, you must focus. Dwell on what you want. It is the introduction of light that dispels darkness, not the dwelling on the darkness that introduces the light. If you want more business, if you want better relations between employer and employee or a better job, get your desire in mind. Focus on it and then determine the exposure time needed to accomplish the task. If you want to get out of your prisons today, immediately change your thinking about your situation. Change your subject or focus. As you change your thinking, you will draw a mental pattern for the things you do want in your life, which in turn will dispel and root out those things you do not want. You may say, "Well, this is not an easy thing to do, but I'm going to try it. With God's help, according to his word, I'm going to get out of this prison." However, if within half an hour you have forgotten to keep your thinking changed and you fall back into your old negative rut, you will be back living the same way you were before. Then don't wonder why you can't get an answer to prayer, why you cannot tap the resources, why the answers is not flowing as easy for you as it is for others, why you cannot be released. The answer is that you only momentarily change your mental image and you did not keep your picture in focus and allow proper exposure time. The release from one's prison depends upon two things: clearness and concerns. The two C's of release: get clear on what you wanted and then become concerned about receiving it. Get God's word of deliverance and release into your mind and into your heart. Eat it, drink it, sleep it, walk it. Every time you take a step or every time you think about your situation or condition, thank God that the answers and releases is coming. Soon the negatives drop off and the positive become yours, the results of which is release from any prison you are in. It can be done. It will be done. For as Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." How have you mentally pictured yourself for the past week, the past month, the past year, or the past 10 years? The picture that you carry of yourself with clearness and with concern is what you are. This law works for positive and negative thinking alike. Most people believe that in order to gain the spiritual heights in life where they can tap the resources of God, it is necessary to strain and strife and struggle. They think that gaining spiritual results is like an air hammer. The harder one presses the hammer, the quicker it gets the job done. However, this is not the case. When we have stressed and strained, we tie ourselves into knots. We will never get out of prisons that way. Just the opposite occurs. We become more and more frustrated to ourselves. It is not stress and strain, but believing and acting on the word that brings release. James 1:21 says, "Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." To lay apart means to put off. We are to put off filthiness, the works of evil, from the least to the worst form, and subjectively receive God's word in the sense that we look to it and desire it, because his word is greater than we are. The engrafted word is the total implanted word of God, which he implanted so close to us that we can absorb it until it becomes a part of us. If we keep our minds renewed on God's word, the love of God is perfected in our minds, and thus we give no opportunity to the flesh to hate, dislike, or slight a brother in Christ. 1 John 2:11 says, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goes, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes." Absolute hate is possible only when someone is born of the seed of the devil, just as the agape kind of love is possible only when a person is born again of God's seed. The word hate means either dislike or dislike, issuing the absolute hate of the devil. In 1 John 2:11, hate is speaking of born-again believers hating or disliking a brother. He who slights or hates or dislikes his brother has not renewed his mind on God's word and is walking in darkness. Anyone walking in darkness just wanders aimlessly, not knowing where he is going. The Telugu translation of Proverbs 29:18 reads this: "Where there is no knowledge of God, the people wander aimlessly." I do not care who you are or what prison you may be in. God will hear your prayer. Change yourself by changing your thinking patterns, and then the circumstances will change. Study God's word, and you will learn to know the Christ who made you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Outside of Christ, we cannot be free. Jesus Christ was the liberator who set us free. He is the head of the church. The truth of the word of God and of Christ is our light and power in life. This is our release from fears, worries, anxieties, frustration, heartaches, headache, and everything else that comes along. This is our means to get out of a negative prison of self-enslavement into the glorious liberty of the children of God. When you find yourself in one of life's prisons, get a positive, clear picture of your freed self. Focus in on the positive image and thank God that right now you have the answer. Keep confessing and believing positively according to the word, and your release will absolutely follow. So that was the chapter of release from your prisons, and the other chapter two of that book is how to avoid being a failure, and that's really cool as well. So I hope that's blessed you and encouraged you, and for some of you maybe brought back some good memories of that time when you was in prison and you read that for the first time and it brought you deliverance, because God is an absolute God of deliverance. And we know in the scriptures, as I've been sharing as well, that as a man thinketh, or as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, what you think in your heart, what you dwell upon, is so important. We're to dwell on the word of Christ. We're to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. In other words, we got God's thoughts and words going through our heart and mind. We're meditating upon that. We're focused on living this word. We're focused on preaching this word. We're focused on living unto God and speaking those heavenly words, and that it becomes so ingrained in us, it becomes a part of us. We got to so get that word in us that the world gets out of us, you know, that type of way. And that we are being transformed by the renewing of mind. We're proving to ourselves what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. No, God wants whatever prison you may be in, you may still be having paradigms and those things that control you, where you just can't seem to get further. And that's a paradigm. It's something in your subconscious that you're not aware of. And that's why when we do the faith and confession, it's so powerful. You know, don't just start the confessions and stop it because you got used to confessing. You know, oh, I don't need to do that no more. I know the word and I've done all these confessions. You got to do it with faith. You got to do it with purpose. You got to do it with focus. You got to do it with determination. And God is also working in you to do that. You want to do it. You know, when your heart's set on God, your heart becomes on fire for God. And you want to do it. You want to say what you want and not what you see. You want to say, I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. Why would you want to say anything else? In fact, sometimes you don't even have to say it. Because the negative thoughts are still there in, within your heart. The images of failure. The images of defeat. The images of not getting far. Or the images of other things stopping you. No one can stop you achieving what you want to do and what God's put in your heart to do. Only you. Because we got the word of truth and God has ordered our steps. And when we stay in sync with God, when we stay saying what God says, when we start and keep moving in the direction that God has got for us, we take each step with God, being led by the Spirit of God, we will be successful in every endeavor. God will open up the doors. God will give you the labors. God will give you the provision and the finances. He wants you to be successful with many fellowships, with many laborers, with great abundance so that you can be a blessing. God wants you the head and not the tail. He wants you above and not beneath. This is the will and heart of God. This is what God sees in you. He sees his son in you. Jesus was successful. Yes, and he had challenges, didn't he? He went through many things. He went through all the thoughts and feelings of what could be thrown at him and what's thrown at us. He went through those challenges and thoughts and emotions and situations, but he never broke the fellowship with God. He always kept the focus. Because the reason why he did, because he was in control of his thinking. And do you know the great thing about that is? So are you. You are in control of your thinking. You don't let go of your thoughts. You bring those, you lasso the thoughts back in. Like a cowboy would lasso the wild horses, you lasso in your wild thoughts and you bring it subject to the obedience of Christ. So how do I do that? Oh, I feel really fear. No, God has not given me a spirit of fear. I'm lassoing that thought when I start to say what God says. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love and a sound mind. Oh, I've got, my needs are not met. No, my God shall supply all my need according to his glorious riches by Christ Jesus. You know, we got to be serious, focused, not just know these things, but really be passionate about it in our hearts and our minds and excited about the great authority God has given us in Christ. God wants us to be excited about this life. He wants us to be excited about life and living and enjoy. Jesus loved life. He was the way, the truth and the life. He enjoyed the fellowship with his followers. He enjoyed sitting down at night time around the campfire when they were frying fish or doing bread, whatever they were doing. And even his disciples would put their head on his breast, you know, rest their head on his chest. I mean, today someone would say, oh, look, he's gay. But that wasn't back then. Like the real heart, like, you know, they were just really open and loving and caring. It was genuine. It was pure. It's like when I go to India, you can see two boys with their arms around each other. They're not gay. They're just really embracing each other. And it's a cultural thing. So I think it's lovely that people can do that. And I can remember going to Finland, these guys, when you give them a hug, they go like a stiff cardboard, like their backs go up and their chests come out. It's like, oh, you can't do that. But it's just cultural differences and stuff like that. But if you think how beautiful that was, you know, there was no fear in what they were doing. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love and a sound mind, you know. And God wants us to move in power. He wants us to move in strength. And, you know, we start with us. You know, we can look to help other people and minister to other people. But you start, charity starts at home. The love of God starts at home. It starts with you renewing your mind. You go to God. Love yourself. And then you can really love others. We're to love others as we love ourselves. So if you don't think too much of yourself, you're not going to be thinking too much of others. So that's the way we change. We're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. This is the royal commandment in action today, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. It's going to take some energy sometimes because we have challenges maybe, right? And then it says, and we're to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. How do you love yourself? If you're wrapped up in your little prison still, you're not going to be loving other people too much. You're not going to be speaking well too much. You're not going to be seeing them victorious because you don't see yourself victorious. You're not going to be seeing them successful because you're not successful yourself. So it starts, charity starts at home, mate. Really, like build yourself, build your confidence. And then you'll have something to give. Then you'll have something to offer. Then you'll have something to share with others. This great news, because no, the gospel is good news. So when I come to you and say, oh yeah, you're going to have to struggle through food. Is that good news? No, it's not. As a bearer of bad news, right? I got to struggle. Yeah, it's just a few more months. You know, you're going to struggle on through. No, God wants us to rejoice and joy every single day. This is the day that Jehovah has made. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. This is the mindset and the heart set. And, you know, we should be really, as believers, you know, it's us with God, renewing our minds, walking in truth, walking in light, walking in love, walking circumspectly, walking with great heart. And then our families, our wife, our children, we get with them, we bless them, we build them up. Then the household of God, then the believers, you know, unbelievers as well. We speak the gospel of Christ, the good news. Hey, do you want some good news? You know, you can go to heaven and not hell. Do you know it's available? Do you know how to get there? Would you like some direction? I can offer it to you. You know, and God is really good. So when we orientate our heart and our minds and our words towards God and to live in this way of life, everything will be about God, you know. And God will be actively working alongside us, working within us, opening up doors easily for us because it's our natural environment. My natural environment is God and speaking about God and seeing his power at work. So wherever I go, like when I go to the gym, the doors just open for me. So it's like I'm having fellowship there. When I get into the hot tub down there, I have fellowship because I'm sharing with one person, then somebody else asks something, and then somebody else asks a question. And next minute, I'm having a 20-minute, half an hour in the hot tub, and I was only going in there for 5 minutes, and I'm sharing about God, sharing about truth, breaking tradition in people's minds. And this is what I'm learning. Like, there's a lot of tradition out there, and when you speak the truth and someone sees something different, they listen up. I've got young kids coming to me, cage fighters coming to me, asking me questions and saying, yeah, they do believe, but they need something more. And I'm sharing with them the power of God, and they're getting turned on. Like, you know, one kid the other day, his name's Grant. Because I never forget, because I said to him, I grant you your wish today. I was having a bit of fun with the guy, witnessing with him. And I learned that he's a cage fighter. You know, he's been on television and everything, this kid. So he's very well known, tough dude, really good, handsome looking kid. And he's saying, yeah, I really know there's something more. He said, my mum's a Christian, but like, there's just something not right there, you know. And he said, I need something more. And then I started to share. He said, stay there. I'll go and get my phone. He said, I want to get your website. Because he asked me if I had a website. And so he took my website. He added me as a friend on Facebook. He said, oh, where are you on Facebook? And so now we're friends. And then there's another one called Sean Meenor.
Minor.
He's a lovely kid, really lovely kid. I mean, all these kids have had tough backgrounds as well. But he's lovely. He's found his kind of direction in the MMA boxing era. And he's also coaching other people now. But a lovely kid. We're going to go to a curry together next week. And so God has opened these amazing doors. Then I met a girl called Asia. And I just come back from India. And I met a girl called India. And then there's this other kid there. And as I was talking to this Grant about God, and he went and got his phone, there's another kid. I would say he was 26, 27. And I've been speaking to him on and off, but I never shared about God with him. So I didn't know you was a Christian. He said, I'm a Christian too. He said, I go to church and all that. You know, yeah, we should get them to take the Alpha class. I said, nah, not classes. I said, can you tell me when Jesus done the Alpha class? I said, did Jesus teach classes? No, he didn't. He moved with the power of God and he spoke by the power of God. And he's like, oh yeah, he did, didn't he? And then he started to ask me questions and stuff like that. So my desire now is that I really want to get a little fellowship going in the gym down there somehow. Because they got an area where you can, they got a bar and you can have food, you got seating areas, you even got a living room with a television and you got outside. So I want to start a little fellowship. So I'm asking God to open it up for me. I'm not going to pursue it. I'm just going to give it to God and then just move with any steps he gives me. Because I know there's people that are hungry and searching. They're looking for answers. They're going to other people. Like, I know that some other people are, they go to mind coaches and stuff like that. But they sound good, these mind coaches, but it doesn't lead to Jesus Christ. It doesn't lead to truth. So I see all this and I can speak and speak over those things with those people. I know there's people there. And, you know, so I'm like, okay, well, you know, like, so one of the guys there, he's got someone that gives him a good mindset, but it's carnal. But it's very positive, but it's carnal. It's not spiritual. And so there's a difference between, you know, positivity in the world sense and making a cup of tea in God's sense. Positivity in God's sense, you know. So I want to give people truth because Jesus said it's the truth that sets people free. You know, and God's given me this boldness and this clarity. And really, I can see as we grow in life, you know, really our ministries really come to fruition when we're getting older. Because we've gained experience, we've gone through things. If you think, I started this when I was 16. I've gone through many different churches, many different backgrounds, many different difficult situations in life. Some really sad, some great, some bad. And then I've travelled the world, I've seen all different scenarios play out amongst unbelievers, amongst believers. And so God gives you experience. You know, and with experience comes patience. So I know that God is going to bring those labourers. They're already on their way. And God has given me words to speak with some experience behind it, but with truth. Because it's the truth that people get set free by. And it's the power of God in operation. So when people see the power of God, and you're speaking into their life, and things that you don't know about them, but you're speaking it to them, it turns them on. They, you know, you're getting their attention. So yeah, you can be released from every prison, or you can get stuck in traditions of men, or religious ways of doing things, rather than every day you get up, Father, what have we got on today? You might have had things planned and prepared. You know, you might have work or stuff like that, or you might be free and not in a circle of work. You know, Father, what's on today? You know, lead me by your Spirit, show me and open the doors for me, bring me before the people you want me to give your good news to. Father, I know the time is short. I know that, Father, that even the devil knows his time is short. I know that you desire all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. There's people drowning in fear, drowning in no direction, drowning in despair, even of life. But Father, Jesus is the answer, and he lives in me, and I am as he is. So now I'm the answer to the world, because I've got Christ living in me, and I've got the words of truth from you, lifetime. I don't have to go and study that, because you can give me the words in lifetime to speak directly to people's hearts, to bring your power, to bring your deliverance. So saying all this on that sharing of release from your prison is because I want to get back to why we do what we do. We're here, we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're to speak the truth in love, but you've got to have that word living in your heart, right? And the way you get God's word living in your heart is by getting it down into your heart, and you get that down into your heart by hearing and speaking. Now, we're to say what God says. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the words from God. So the words of life are going down into our heart. Your heart is the incubator. Your heart is the womb of where faith is going to grow or where fear is going to grow. What type of baby are you going to deliver out of your mouth? Is it going to be fear, unbelief, carnal? Or is it going to be faith, spiritual, truth, light, love, direction, healing, deliverance, power, life-changing words? You know, there's people that are, you know, I think back to when I was with Kim and she had a breakdown. And I knew then, I didn't have the truth like I got it now, but I can remember God put Brendan in my heart. I met Brendan in 1984. And there was something different about him. I was going to a Pentecostal church, and he'd done home fellowships, right? And he was with The Way, and he knew Dr. Well and all these things. But I didn't know all of that stuff. But I knew him, that he was, like, different. When I turned up to his fellowship, he gave me a bottle of beer. And I'm thinking, oh, how can you do that? Don't forget, I'm coming from a Pentecostal church, a little bit up my own arse, and, you know, a little bit of religion. He's giving me a beer. You can't do that. That's not godly. Anyway, so I never forgot him, though, because of his smile, his heart, his kindness. And also, through the years, from 1984, I never seen him apart from... He turned up my church a couple of times when I was with my first wife, and he'd be at the back door just watching. And then I said, oh, Brendan, praise the Lord. This is how he used to be so religious. Praise Jesus. Oh, come on in. Like, you know. And I said, oh, you're going to come and join? He said, no, I come to see you. Just to let you know I love you. And he said all these different things. But he never got involved with anything, right? And then I didn't see him for years. Met Kim. And, you know, we started to live together and do different things. But she had a breakdown. And I never forget Brendan. I'm thinking, man, I need to bump into Brendan. I need to get Kim out of this house. And I need to speak to Brendan, you know. Anyways, I got on a bus. And I had to drag Kim out of the house. She didn't want to go out of the house screaming and kicking. And I dragged her nearly a whole mile to the bus stop. We got off in Kingswood. And then walked towards where Boswell's is. And there's a cafeteria there. You know, Boswell's wasn't there, but there was another cafeteria where they do the key cutting. That was a cafeteria. And I'm walking towards that, and all I heard was, Lawrence! And guess who it was? It was Brendy. And I was like, oh my God. And Kim, like, froze. And then he came up and he looked at her and he went, you'll be all right, my love. Come and sit down with us. And that's how I got connected to Brendan in June. Again, June was a significant month. 1989, and he said, come up for a barbecue. So that meeting with Brendan and Kathy and the couple of kids they had then was really calmed Kim down, and she wanted to go up to the barbecue in White Lodge Road in Staple Hill. That's where they live, 13 White Lodge Road, just by the opposite the Staple Hill Park. So we went up there, and he had all the kids sat down, and he had Kim in the back garden and me and Kath. And he got a barbecue going. And he says, right, kids, let's sing a song, Standing on the Promises. And so they started singing songs, and Kim really got comforted. So from there, the kids started to sing. And then Kim got deliverance from it. And then we started to go to fellowship. And then November, Brendan said, oh, I got to go to the United States. And this is when he went over there to get the class, which they wouldn't let him at, but he acted up. And because he was from the IRA, his background, the board of trustees there were a little bit apprehensive of him and let him have the class. So we had the class in November 1989. That's when I took the PFAL class. And we never looked back from there. And then from there, we started fellowship and everything. So, but before that, obviously, it was more traditional Christianity church. So, but God is good. And what I'm saying is that there really is great deliverance. And you know, we got to build that word in our heart as well. You know, as well as receive the words from God, you know, you got to know the great and precious promise. You got to know you're redeemed. You know, you got to know that Jesus Christ paid the price. You got to not only know it, you got to believe it. And you got to speak these things. You know, you got to let other people know it's available. So faith and confession is priority. We got to say what we want and not what we see. We got to know what we want to say what we want. So when I say to you, what do you desire? What's your greatest desire? Now you know I'm asking you with a purpose, you know. But that, to know what you desire, does take some thoughts. You know, you've got to sit down with God. What do I desire, God? Like, put your desires in my heart. I want the best in life, that life that you've given me, the best life that you can offer me, put the desire in my heart so I can move towards that. And God has got a path for all of us. And that path is successful. But there's other path that leads off from that main path. And that comes down to the decisions we make in life. Like God says, you know, choose death or life. And then he gives you the opposite. He tells you what it is to choose death, and he tells you what it is to choose life. And then he gives you the answer. He says, therefore, choose life, right? God wants us to choose life. He wants you to choose happiness. He wants you to choose peacefulness. He wants you to choose abundance. He wants you to choose generosity. He wants you to choose love, which is his way. Like, this is the things that come from our one true God. So God really will give to you the things that you believe for and ask for. You don't receive because you don't ask. And you, when you ask, you've got to ask in faith. You've got to believe that you're going to get what you're asking for. That's what faith is. You believe you've already got it. When you pray, believe that you've already received and you shall have it. That's what Jesus Christ, whatever you're praying for, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. But you've got to believe it with all your heart. So faith comes from your heart, or fear comes from your heart. Unbelief can come from your heart. Doubts can come from your heart. Carnal thoughts and wicked ways can come from your heart. Or spiritual thoughts and good ways can come from your heart. So what are you putting in your heart? What are you listening to? And what you're speaking, if you're speaking what's in your heart, you're watering the seeds in your heart. So if it's worries, fears and doubts, gossip and all that stuff, that's all you're feeding. You're just going to keep getting the same old ways and results, and you're not going to move forward. So you want to change your life by changing your thinking, changing your words, changing your action, moving the direction that God's showing you. And then because from that faith, God is giving you pictures. And your guardian, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What's flowing out of you, but what's going into you is giving you images. So what are you guarding? You're guarding that image within your heart, within your mind. Images are a big part of the Old Testament, because people used to worship the wrong image. They used to put idols up. What idols have you got? Tear them down. Get rid of your idols. Get rid of your own ideas about things can be an idol. It's before God. So we say, God, now clean the slate for us and give us the right path. I want truth, the truth that sets me free. And I want my words to be with power. When Jesus spoke, people took note that his words were with power, because his heart was pure and his heart was filled with God. And our hearts are now filled with God because we got the Holy Spirit within us. So God can energize everything within us and bring out of us the good things. And all the bad things will start to melt and they'll fade away. The old nature, the old habits, the old responses, they fade away. And that's when people say, oh my God, Becky, you've changed. Oh my God, Becky, you never used to, I didn't think you would react in that kind way. I thought you would go mad. But you've changed, because God, you've got to be changed from the inside out. And nothing changes on the outside unless it first changes on the inside. And a lot of people dress the outside. They look smart. They seem like they're talking really well. They seem like they're living really well. But then you go within their families and it's a mess. You go within their close proximity of living and it's a mess. No one's happy. Because they haven't addressed the inside, the things that mean anything, But God is with us and he's leading us and guiding us, and we're pursuing truth. We're pursuing the right way. And I thought that release from your prison was absolutely a great inspirational thing from God, that God worked in Dr. Well to have it written down. And it's great to read that again. And also it's great to be inspired with some of the other things that I've just said to you. And some of the real life stories that went on in my life, how we changed, like how I was. If you met me at 16, you probably wouldn't even recognize me as Lawrence, because I was totally different, totally timid. I was timid, really quiet. I wasn't afraid, I wasn't afraid of fighting or stuff like that. I wasn't timid in that way, but I was timid of life, timid of knowing the right things to say, Am I saying the right things? Am I a little bit like you've been? That's why I can really see your heart, so it's like, because I've been there, I've been through those stages, And I've had people say, you're no good, you're this, and they still say it now, but it doesn't matter, I'm still here, and I'm still moving forward, and I'm still strong, and I'm still moving in the power of God, and God is really taking care of me, and anyone associated with me gets taken care of, because the blessings of God in my life pour out to other people. They get blessed, just like I noticed when Sangate used to come and visit, money would come to me. Like, all the abundance I need to take care of him and to bless other people and to bless myself just showed up from nowhere, you know? And so I know where I go, that happens also, that the abundance comes. Because God is with me and God is with you. And so, like, we should be a blessing wherever we go. We should take the blessings of God or outpour into other people without them doing anything, because God highly favours us and he wants us to be blessed wherever we are. So sometimes that requires other people to be blessed so we can be blessed. So yeah, bless them. See? So you've got to remember that. Wherever you go, you're touching the world. You're setting it on fire. You're starting little fires without even realising it. You know, you're leaving the imprint of that Holy Spirit behind when you sit down on a chair. That Holy Spirit is dwelling there. You know, it's tangible. It's transferable. Spirit is transferable. You know, so, and that's truth. You know, Spirit is transferable. So, this cup is blessed because I've touched it. It's really true. Your phone is blessed. That book is blessed. And so this is how powerful we are as believers. You just got to believe it. And when you believe it, everything turns on. It's like that light switch. Oh, yeah, it's a light there. It doesn't work. But you never turn the light switch on, so you don't know if it works. Well, my dear, turn the light switch on and you'll see it works. Wow, it works as a light. It actually works. Wow. Well, that's what you are. You're the light. You just got to turn it on. You've got to open your mouth. You've got to set your mind. You've got to turn the switch on. You've got to speak in tongues. You've got to say what God says. You've got to set your mind like a flint and not be budged. In other words, nothing's going to move you out. When you set your mind like a flint, nothing's going to move you out of the way. Nothing's going to stop you. Whoever they are, whatever they say, however you feel, you're going to keep moving on. And God's going to let you run through the troop, jump over a wall, you know, whatever it may be. But you've got to have that word living in your heart, coming out of your mouth. You've got to, every day, get back to confessions. That's the direction. Get back to the confessions, visualization. See, once you've got the picture of what God wants, then you focus on that. That's what you focus on. So there's a difference between imagination and visualization. Imagination is the pictures that God has created through the words he's spoken to you, and the visualization is you dwelling on that picture, giving it the right exposure time, just like Dr. Well was sharing in that sharing he done. And so then you get what you want, and you can say what you want. You call those things which are not as though they were. You know, don't forget, they were going to build the tower going up to heaven, which wasn't a good thing, right? And God come down to see how they're doing. And God says, nothing's going to stop them because of the imagination of their heart. For they all speak with one tongue. They could all speak and understand each other. So they all had the same goal. They had the same vision. And they was accomplishing it. And then obviously their language was mixed up and changed. So that's why you got all the different languages. The Tower of Babel. You know, we get the words, he's babbling on. That's where it comes from. So words are powerful, mate. Honestly, the words are the things. But is it carnal words or is it spiritual words from God? You know, all words have either death or life. You can speak words of death or you can speak words of life. You can speak words of prosperity or you can speak words of poverty. You can speak words of health and healing or sickness and death, you know. So, like, the words are the thing. And we got the words of God. So the word of God or the word from God is what we want. That's what needs to be dwelling in our minds. And we need to saturate ourselves. You know? It's like putting water over your head. You know, you need to pour God's words over your head and your mind and your heart and let it seep into you. You become a part of God. And let him become a part of you. And you're an unstoppable force with the Spirit of God activating everything. And your focus and your attention, nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you through the imagination of your heart. But it's going to be on a good thing, not on the wrong thing. Because a lot of people, a lot of Satanists and unbelieving people, yeah, or people from different faith, know this principle, what I'm telling you. But God set it up for the believer to operate in. That's how we're supposed to rule and reign in this life, but by one Jesus Christ, with the right mind, with the right heart, with the right focus. We can call the shots with God. We're the heavenly congress, like Sandgate was sharing. We're seated at the right-hand side of God. So these politicians that bring in laws and legislation, yeah, and call it how it is, and how we're to be governed by, we can do the same with God, as God energizes. God's navigating it. Jesus is the head and given the direction. And we need to speak in line with that. You know, we need to really see how powerful we truly are. We're bigger than politicians, really. We are bigger than the people are bigger than politicians. And the politicians have got their power from the people. But the politicians have misused their power, just like Satan has misused the power of God. He stole it from Adam and Eve, and he's misused that power. But God's restored the order spiritually. And so we cannot, you know, we can use the things for good. God has given us the things for good, not for evil. And so God is light and in him is no darkness. So the entrance of God's word brings what? Light. So the entrance of carnal words and Satan's words brings what?
Darkness.
There you go. So it gives the wrong direction. But people that are carnal, those words are natural. Oh yeah, this is right. Until truth comes in. And God's logic is bigger than the world's logic. So can you see, like, the confession is so powerful? Can you see that the words are building imagination, and that's what we visualize on, that's what we focus on. So when God gives you a goal, right, Becky, you're going to run a 26 mile run, you're going to do a marathon, this is your goal to do. Now you start to, from that you've got pictures in your mind, because oh, God says I'm going to do a marathon. What does that marathon look like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? How would my body feel? And then you just visualize all those things in operation, like you're already running that marathon, yeah? And then you speak that way, you act that way, you address it that way, you start to feed it that way, you start to feed your body the things that it needs so it can compete that way. So you're lining everything up in alignment. So everything's about alignment, you know, that's why you hear me say that a lot. Alignment, like alignment and harmony with God. We want to bring everything into alignment and harmony with God that we understand to do, but God's also working in us to do that as well. So anyway, that's what come to my heart from sharing that. And obviously we can speak about other things. So yeah, so I'll put this up on the regular audio site for people to listen to. And I title it, Release from Your Prison, so you can find it, all right?